Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Maneuver Meta. Today, we're going to be focusing on the final two factions in the Nordic Forces book, Norway and Denmark. But before we dive into that, I have an announcement to make. Well, technically two announcements. Thank you for getting me to 500 subscribers on YouTube. This was a big hurdle for me to get over, so I'm going to keep on trucking and hope that more of you start joining this party. So let me know what other types of videos and content you want to see me start making, and I'll see what I can fit in with my busy schedule. Then the other thing, I got approved for Soraya Tech's affiliate program. So if you 3D print and you use resin, I highly recommend getting Soraya Tech's resin. You can use the link that I have down below to support my channel while just buying your resin. There's no added cost, no extra anything. If you're just buying your resin, use my link, and then that will help support me. So I highly recommend pretty much any of their resin. I've been using them since I've pretty much used them exclusively. I used tried a couple of other resins at first, and then once I settled into Soraya Tech and found Fast Gray, that's the main one that I use, I haven't looked back. I've tried a couple others here and there, but nothing compares to Soraya Tech. A lot of their stuff you're able to mix and match. If you're needing something that's got a little bit more tensile strength versus something that's got more detail, they have a wide array. And their price point, I found, is kind of in the middle ground, you know, where it's not too expensive, but it's not overly cheap. You're still getting a quality product. So, again, that link will be down below. So if you're buying resin, please, please try out Soraya Tech and use my affiliate link to help support this channel. Quick little hobby update for those that care. Autumn Wars is at the end of this month. That's HMGS Midwest up in Bannonbrock. I always forget where Trinity College is in Northern Illinois. But we're having a Flames of War, Late War, and a Team Yankee tournament that I'm running up there. So I'm hoping to be able to incorporate that into some sort of video afterwards. But needless to say, I've been trying to finish. I finished my Germans for Flames of War, Late War to the three-color level. They're nowhere near being actually done, but I got a fair amount of paint on them. And then I don't think I'm going to have time with the commissions lined up, because as of recording, it is September 18th, and I've painted 10 S-104s with the base green, not even camoed. So I think I'm going to be playing my Soviets for Team Yankee that I've been using at Adepticon and other events this year, so that I can just have a painted army and the Swedes will have to be the next tournament. Then as for everything else, I've slowly been piecing together my Tau forces for 10th Ed 40K, been painting that. And same thing with the Orgs for the Cruel Boys. Been rocking them for this latest season with the Antoran Locust, which has been a lot of fun. Yeah, that's really it for the hobby update. So again, I want to thank you all for getting me to 500 subscribers here on YouTube. Check out my Patreon. I'm still trying to figure out what benefit I'm going to be giving my patrons, because I really only have one subscriber level. It's $1 if you're wanting to support me. Every little bit helps. I think what I might do is an advanced release schedule that patrons will get this. I think that's what I'm going to do, is the patrons will be getting episodes and have a week in advance before they go public, so you get a little early preview and such. But that is to be determined. I'm just going to be uploading this entire thing onto YouTube so that you guys are able to see the slides and everything as I go through them. And if you want to support me because you like my work, please feel free to. Like I was saying earlier, if you buy resin, use my affiliate link. And if you want to follow my Patreon and such, it's just $1. So with that, let's get going. All right, so we're going to start with Norway here. The Norwegian forces available in Nordic Forces. For a little bit of history behind the country, they were occupied during World War II after declaring an official stance of neutrality. This politically and personally among the citizens shifted the official stance of neutrality, because they kind of looked at it as if we're just going to get invaded, why are we going to be sitting here neutral if we can do something about it? This mentality carried into the post-war era, with a Soviet invasion very likely. I believe outside of the Fulda Gap, and I think the Fulda Gap wasn't even really a true hot spot until the 60s and 70s. In the immediate onset of the Cold War, Norway was the immediate threat that the Soviets were looking at and NATO was looking at defending. This led, this threat of invasion, all behind Norway's ports on the Atlantic, because that's, if you study any history of the Soviet Union, that is going to be a theme that comes up again and again, is their desire for A, year-round ports, and B, ports that would connect them to the Atlantic. But anyway, so Soviets were really looking at invading if they were going to start a war, and Norway was looking at, we're probably going to get invaded if a war breaks out again. And so, faced with the two sides that were cropping up in this Cold War, they sided a little bit more with the West and NATO. When NATO formed in 1949, Norway was one of 12 initial signatories, or one of the original 12 members of NATO. They have the distinction of being one of two NATO countries that shared a direct border with the USSR. And in reaction to this, the Soviets heavily fortified the Kola Peninsula, which is the part of the Soviet Union that butted up to Norway. And throughout the 50s and the 60s, NATO poured money and funding into Norway, making it very, they just armed it to the teeth. Fortifications were raised and a general plan was put into place in the event of invasion. And the majority of the Norwegian populace knew what would happen. And so they geared towards total war, that if the Soviets invaded, the army was going to do a fighting withdrawal further south to link up with Allied forces that would land to assist them against the Soviets, while the citizens would do delaying and essentially partisan guerrilla warfare style tactics. So in the event of war, NATO actually had specific divisions and brigades that would deploy in the event, that these were raised and organized and maintained with the entire doctrine being, you are going to assist Norway. Not the entire doctrine, but they had a dedicated force on hand for Norway, which was the two main ones were the British 3rd Marine Commando Brigade and the U.S. 4th Marine Expeditionary Brigade. This third one I have listed here, the Multinational Allied Mobile Force, it's kind of NATO's QRF, their Quick Reaction Force. They would go where needed, and for majority of the Cold War, the general opinion, if you asked any of the general staff on that force, would be, where do you think you'll deploy? The majority of them would say Norway. And so that was pretty much shoot-in as a third option. And kind of like I alluded to earlier, the goal for the Norwegians in the event of war was to bleed the Soviets dry until main NATO forces could arrive to push them out of the country. So all of my videos that I've been doing here, the past two, have been a tier breakdown in terms of the competitive nature, from a competitive point of view, as to what forces in this book and what units in this book are more competitive than others and what will perform better in a competitive environment. However, Norway and Denmark together have 5 formations, with 4 of them being essentially shared. They both have a Leo 1 and they both have an M113 squadron with some minor differences. So if you're playing either of these nations, you don't really have that much of a choice in terms of, oh, which of these formations is going to be better. They're both not incredible, but they're not awful either. They're workable. We'll get more into Denmark later because they have some very interesting support options. But we'll get into that when we get to Denmark. We'll stay on Norway for now. So the first formation available for the Norwegians is the Leopard 1 tank squadron. They are West German Leopard 1s. The only difference that I found was they have an 18-inch terrain dash instead of a 16-inch terrain dash. Otherwise, they're the exact same points as the West Germans. They have one worse morale, where the morale is a 4+ instead of a 3+, but everything else, skill 3, remount 3, this is a Leo 1. Your tank squadron option is you have the HQ, the mandatory 2 black box of the tank troops. You can then fulfill another tank troop to put your total number of tank troops to 3. And then you have an M113 Storm Squadron, a M106 Mortar Troop, and a NM142 Anti-Tank Troop. The NM142 is one of the special things for Norway. It's a M113 with a hammerhead. It's got tow with the option for tow 2. You can get 4 of them for 8 points, or bump it up to 9 points for tow 2 to get that extra. It's skill 3 plus, so you can feasibly do some movement orders and such. The Storm Platoon I'll go into with the Storm Company. Or Storm Troop here. So the M113 Storm Squadron, it's the standard NATO infantry layout. Your HQ is one rifle and one M113 or an M135. When you have the capability to take the 135, always take the 135. You have 2 mandatory platoons. You have 2 options to take inside of those platoons, full strength or under strength. Full strength giving you 4 MG3 teams, 3 Carl Gustavs, 2 M113s, and 2 M135s. The understrength drops your MGs and Gustav by 1. You lose 1 M13, and then you have the option. Then you get the 2 NM135s. Then you have the option to replace all M113s with M135 with NM135s. Oh, that's a typo. For 1 point, which I highly, highly recommend doing. Full strength, that puts it to 8. And so what the NM135 is, it's a Norwegian modification of the M113. They mounted a turret on the right side of the chassis and put in the Rheinmetall 202 gun. It's the gun found on the Martyr 1 in the looks. So essentially, when you take that image out, it's basically a Martyr 1 without a dragon mount. You know, so it's got that AT-7 firepower, 5, halted 3, moving 2, 20-inch range autocannon with a 3.3 MG, front 3, side 2, top 1, hit on 4+. Fours for all of the courage stats, skill 3, and then reduced assault for transports with tactical 10, 16 terrain, 24 cross country, 3 plus cross. It's all around. It's kind of a pretty basic, you know, nothing insane. Not like the Swedes, who had a lot of their own kind of vehicles. But again, when you kind of look at this compared to the Swedes, it's basically the same thing, just a slightly better AT because you get that Rheinmetall gun. One of the options that you have in the Storm Squadrons is you can get the first available tandem warhead rocket for NATO. Tandem warhead ignores the ERA rule. However, the Erinx anti-tank missile team is horrible. I'm going to say right now, I'm never taking it. And in a competitive environment, as a Soviet player, I hope people want Erinx because they are very easy to play around. It's bad. It's awful. And I would even go far as to say that even if they made it a free upgrade, that you could trade out your Gustavs for the earrings, for free, I still wouldn't take it for 2 major reasons. It has no moving rate of fire. So if you pin it, it cannot shoot. And no assault rule means that they can't fight an assault. So all that ends up happening is you drop artillery or chain fire machine guns into the platoon, pin the platoon, and then you assault the platoon, and it's like the Erinx wasn't even there. And now you don't even have Gustavs to try and do something to hope your opponent rolls a 1, which is still not likely, but not getting a roll is infinitely worse than getting a roll. And then the 2 minor issues that then really, really hinder it is a 16-inch range and a 4+ firepower. So even if you get the shot off on the side armor, which you're not going to be able to move for, you're going to have to sit there for a turn, so your opponent is going to have to show the side armor or you're ambushing, you still only have a 50% chance to kill the tank. The other half of the time, it's going to be bailed. So the other reason why the Erinx is bad is because it is a tandem warhead unit, so you are looking basically at, okay, I'm going to be countering ERA-equipped tanks with this that are trying to assault my infantry. So your most regularly present targets are the T-80, the T-72B, the T-64BV, and now the S-104. And again, I will say this until I'm blue in the face, the Erinx is not the solution. The 72B and 64BV have front armor 18. Spam with AT-21 Milan missiles and enough shots. With enough shots with these systems, it will become wrecks. T80s are sitting at front 20. Hot and Toe 2 are even better against them with a boost to AT23 and come in at a whopping. While T80s still have a save against and they are no longer invulnerable like they have kind of felt previously. The real answer across the board to elite tank spam, so to speak, and this is against Abrams, Leo 2s, anything else, flank them. Run them down with your mobile armor. Hit them in the side with stuff that makes them hurt. I have played a lot of games with T-80s and using just a single company of T-80s and a horde of tanks. I have lost more T-80s to flanking shots from T-55s and Leo 1s than I have to stuff just barely getting over the front armor. Then the other option that you can do is you can hide the armor, terrain depending. Something I've seen players do is putting Leo 1s 8 inches away from infantry in a spot that they can't be shot from. So then if I try and roll up real quick at the T-80s to take a turn two or turn three win on an ERA assault, I make that charge to contact and all of a sudden I'm taking 8 side shots from 18, 19 guns. So there's a lot of ways to deal with T-80s. Airinx is not it. The NM142, further detailed here from what I was talking about earlier, it is a M113 with hammerhead. You got the AT23 Toe 2 for 1 point with the force rule of if one thing has Toe 2, everything has to have Toe 2. My only question with that I have not encountered an answer for is if something does not have the option to take Toe 2, are you allowed to take it? Like, for example, in the support option, you have a capability to take basically a Jeep that has a tow weapon. If I equip these with tow twos, am I not allowed to take the tow weapons? Or am I allowed to take them, and then because they cannot be upgraded to tow twos, that's where the conversation stops. So I'm not sure where that lies. I lean more towards you can take them, and then the fact that they can't be upgraded to tow two means, okay, they fulfill the requirement. But the neat thing with this unit is you get 4 of them, which is very nice. And it's a gray box option in both the infantry and the tank formation, so you can take an in-formation AT unit. Your support options that you have available is an M109. There's no special munitions for this. You got the long barrel and the short barrel versions. The Feldwagen, which is the new thing. It's a Jeep. It's basically an unarmored Jeep. You can get 2 of them for 2 points. They only get equipped with the tow missile. Courage, Morale, and Rally 4+, Scout, but no Hammerhead. Then our Recon debate here. You got 2 options for Recon. You can take Feldwagens or NM135s. So Feldwagens, you get 5 for 3 points or 3 for 2 points. When you're running the full strength 5, 2 of those are equipped with 50 cals, the other 3 with 7.62. When you're running the 3, you get 1 50 cal, 2 7.62. They're unarmored with a 4+ cross, Scout, and Spearhead, a 20-inch cross-country dash and a 48-inch road dash. Now compare that to the NM135. You get 3 for 3. That's your only option. They all have the Rheinmetall 202. They're armored with a cross 3+ Scout and Spearhead, 24-inch cross-country, but only 32-inch road dash. So personally, I lean more towards the NM135 because I put more value on a cross-country dash than a road dash because you're going to be cross-countrying more and it's going to be more open-ended where you're able to cross-country versus a road dash. And I also put a lot more value on a 3+ cross over a 4+ cross. Granted, having 5 spearhead bodies is nice for 3 points, and I could definitely see an argument for it. But this is where the first real instance of my bias, my personal bias, stepping in. Feldwagen is solid, but I wouldn't run it. I will take the 135s all day because I'll also take those autocannons over basic 50 cals. And the capability to have an armor save and not just have a tank save. Because if you roll up with just a bunch of BMP-1s to the Feldwagens, you just fire, four. If you got 4 of them, you're just going to fire 12 MG shots into them and force them onto that 4+ save. Whereas against the NM135s, you're going to get 4 shots. So, not with armor saves, though, but just much less shots because you haven't used the main gun. Anti-air options is an NM195. It is an M113 with the RBS-70, which if you remember from the Swedish episode, that's the Swedish anti-air system. 6 points before being able to take two units. Rules-wise in the game, an RBS-70, it's the exact same thing as a Gopher missile. 4+ firepower, halted to 56-inch range, and then this is just an M113 chassis for mobility. You have a subset of support options here from the Marine Corps, U.S. Marine Corps. You can take an M60 Patton platoon, a Marine Corps rifle platoon, a Marine M109 artillery battery. Has all the specialty ammo, but you cannot take an observer for it, and I think that the M113 observer for the Norwegians can spot for it. I haven't found something that says it can't, even though it's a different set. And I'm pretty sure that the way that the ruling works is because this is support and not a separate formation, it can do it. But continuing on, they have a Humvee SAM platoon and then an option for a Apache attack helicopter platoon or a Cobra attack helicopter platoon. All of those options found in World War III Americans. I forget what the American book is. It's the V2 American book. Out of all of this, the one that would end up taking the most is the M109 artillery battery, because you're essentially getting the exact same thing, but with the option for specialty ammo, so you can take your bomblets, minelets, and then copperhead. The whole debate comes up with that, but I don't touch copperhead. But minelets and bomblets I do mess around with a lot. Those are pretty solid when used properly. You have two aircraft options, neither of them Norwegian. You can pull a squadron of USMC Harriers or a squadron of Swedish Viggens. And so both these are going to play to their pros and to their cons. The Harriers are going to be arriving on a 3+ with a iffy salvo bomb. It's more of a bailer than a killer, but a decent chain gun on it. And then the Viggen, like I said in the last video, it's a cheap Maverick. It's a cheap Maverick deployment system. So in closing, the Norwegians have solid formations, but overall, they just feel like another way to field Leopard 1s and M113 infantry with a slight twist. Which I guess for some people, that slight twist is what you're looking for. The NM135, the Feldwebel, and the Earrings, which is still bad. But overall, A-tier rating, the NM142s intrigue me, as well as the Feldwebel. And I believe that the one thing that is missing from Norway that would make it really feel like its own thing is their upgraded Chaffees. Because the Norwegians used Chaffees all the way up into the 90s, I believe, where they kept upgrading them and retrofitting them. So that would have been a way to make Norway feel like its own country and not just, here's your standard NATO formations with like a tiny sprinkling of special stuff. So I'm not sure why Battlefront didn't put that in. We already got plastic Chaffees, basically be another turret that you could really throw on or something, or at least put the rules out or something. It would be a way to make Norway really have its own flavor of Norway, like how the Swedes have their S-tank. You know, it would be a way to field something that is undeniably Norwegian, which is something that would be neat in the game to have, especially since we're now branching into these secondary nations. If you're wanting to play secondary nations, in my eyes, I want to play the specialty units that those nations fielded. I don't want to take the standard stuff and just go, okay, cool, these are the soft stats. I get one more special unit in the formation. But I digress. Overall, Norway's pretty solid. So, two sample lists here. Basically going to function the same because you only have two formation options. 80 points, Leo 1 Squadron, M113 Storm Squadron, with support being scout and a defense battery, leaning on mortars for some artillery support here. The Leopard 1s go in reserve, everything else deploys on the table, and then it plays like a M113 infantry company with Leopards in support. The 115, maxing out the Leo 1 squadron, maxing out the M113 squadron, then in support, we're taking the Norwegian M109s. I think those are supposed to be USMC, I'm not sure. Either way, three M109s, I'll have to look at this at some other point and see, and maybe put in an amendment to it in the comments or the description. Three of the Scout NM135s, four Harriers, two sets of the AA, two singular Stingers, and two USMC Cobras. The only real difference between these two forces is the 80-point force is running the tow twos, and the 115 is running the base tows to be able to go wide with them. And that is it for Norway, so now we are going to go right into the Danes, Denmark, who have three options. But a little bit of history on them first, because that is me. I am the history guy. A similar experience to Norway in World War II. They declared official neutrality, but the Germans still came in and said, "We don't care. We're occupying you anyway." Post-war era, very similar story to Norway. They too, Denmark was one of the initial 12 signatories of NATO in 1949. US and Canada helped rebuild the Danish military. When West Germany joined NATO in the 50s, Denmark would end up working very closely with them. So much so that they had their own subset of units and command infrastructure in place called Landsjut, where they, I think I pronounced that right. I might have butchered it for all I know. But the defensive plans that they laid out in Inventive Evasion was essentially a shared cooperative defense between their northern borders. The West Germans would lead the southern Danish units, and then Denmark would be able to free up their concentration, basically, to the Zealand and Jutland defense forces. But very similar to Norway and very similar to the overall NATO strategy, place-based defensive battles bleeding the Soviets dry until we could get our big punch in with our stuff. So Denmark and Team Yankee, their base skills are hit on a 4+, skill assault and counterattack 4+, so skill 4, not skill 3. Courage and morale 4 with a remount and rally 3. They have three available formations: the Leo 1 tank squadron, the Centurion DK tank squadron, and the M113. A very, very wide national support option available from West Germany to represent forces available to Landjut that would have been working in conjunction with them. So the Leopard 1 tank squadron, HQ of one Leopard 1 for 3 points, two platoons of three Leopard 1s for 10 points. So you're getting three Leopard 1s for 10 instead of four for 12. The only real difference in these is they got thermal imaging. That's really it. They're back down to the 16-inch terrain dash instead of 18 for the Norwegians. So if you are taking Leo 1s for the Danes, throw that night attack out, because the thermal takes away the plus one to hit for being at night, so your tanks will be that much more effective against your opponents. But otherwise, it's a Leo 1. The formation layout is a very West German-inspired organization for a company. You have your three platoons, two of them being required in addition to the HQ. Then you got your one infantry option, an M113 tow section, a mortar section, and then a self-propelled howitzer section. And so these are your gray box options detailed. Your M113 tow platoon, it has thermal imaging. You get four for 6 points. Does not have hammerhead, though. For the mortars, you get the West German style 120 mortar, 120 millimeter, with four of them for 4 points. That 3+ firepower on a mortar, ooh, on a mortar, ooh, that's very good. The M109, pretty similar to Norway. You can take the long or short barrel with no specialty ammo. You can take three short for six or three long for seven. You can take six of them for double the points. So six short is 12 and six long is 14. And then you get the final gray box option of an M113 armored infantry platoon, which I will detail in the infantry company. Your next armored option is a Centurion DK tank squadron. Exact same formation layout as the Leo 1s, but Centurions instead of Leo 1s. You get an HQ of 1 for 3 points. You get two platoons of 3 Centurion DK for 8 points. How this compares to the Swedish S-104 Centurion, I do not see it worth it competitively. For 1 point less, you are losing ERA, a point of front armor, and extra mobility on your cross-country terrain and road dashes. And you lose a point in skill because the Swedes are skill 3. So for 1 point, you lose out across the board. That being said, though, if you're wanting to run a Jutland defense force, which is, if memory serves, where the Centurions were deployed, go for it. If you want to play a thematic battle, or if you just want to run Dutch Centurions, or not run S-104 Centurions, this is definitely it. They're not bad per se. It's just for one more point, you get so many benefits. And like I said, the gray box options are the exact same as the Leo 1 squadron. So now you got your M113 armored infantry company, similar loadout to every or similar layout to every single other NATO M113 infantry company force you have seen. You have an HQ of one rifle team and one M113. You got two required units of M113s with the option of taking a third. You have full strength and under strength options. Full strength kicks you in at three MG3s with Laws and three Gustavs with three M113s. The under strength just drops it down by one. You get two MG3s, two Gustavs, and two M113s. Same stats as previously mentioned, only skill 4, so something to keep in mind that you don't have that skill 3. Your gray box options that you have are 3 of the same as armored companies, and then you get the option of a 81mm mortar platoon and an armored gray box slot. The 81mm mortar platoon has one option. It's 2 of them for 2 points. That's a cheap smoke screen. I'll take that as a NATO player. Get an 8-inch line that you can drop on some stationary missiles or BMPs or such to be able to protect a flank for one turn, and then they can drive around with that 50 cal to support infantry. Your support options, they got a couple of little strange ones. You got the same M109 present in the formations, an M113 OP. Then you got 2 available scout groups, 2 gray box options. It's 4 Felt Vulcans for 3 points. They have the Law and the 7.62 MG, so you got kind of a close-range anti-tank option awkwardly through the Law with Scout and Spearhead. The anti-tank is going to be more effective against light armor and IFVs, because it is only a Law, which I believe is AT-12. Can't remember off the top of my head, but I know that it's like bazooka skirts work pretty well against it. Oh, you have 1 gray box option of Centurion Tank Hunters, because when the Danes upgraded their Centurions to the DKs, they didn't get all of them upgraded to the DK status by the time Team Yankee timeline with the war breaking out. You get 3 of them for 5 points. They have the same soft stats, same armor, and same mobility. The only difference with them is they have the 20-pounder gun, which drops them to AT-17 instead of AT-19, because it's mounting the older 1950s-esque gun that was present on the Centurions at that time. It's a weird little choice. It's pretty neat. Thematic as heck, too, because if Denmark got invaded, you can bet that they were going to activate every single Centurion that they had, even if it was the older marks. But I'm kind of disappointed because I enjoy spamming a lot of armor because I really enjoy how it plays. But you only have the 1 gray box option in support here. Then the other option is a Red Eye air defense unit, which is their IGLAs. It's a 48-inch range, halted 3, firepower 5+, guided AA infantry missile team. The only thing that's of note here in my eyes is you get M113 transports with them, so you can kind of throw those at your opponents. You have 2 sets of aircraft options. You got the USMC AV-8 Harrier flight and West German Tornado strike flights. Harrier's going to be coming in on a 3+, like I was saying with Norway, and you're really going to be using more of the chain gun to harass stuff. The West German Tornado is a block clearer with that the bomblets. You know, 3+ firepower at AT-8 that's a lot to be afraid of, especially as a Horde player. The West German support options, this is where it gets really, really neat. It's a wide list. You have a lot of options, but it's all the 1985 tech. You don't have access to your Leo 2A5s and the Martyr 2s, which I'm bummed with because Martyr 2s would have been a nice addition to this. So you got a Leopard 2A4 Panzerzug, a Leopard 1 Panzerzug, your Martyr and M113 Panzergrenadierzugs, your Rolland and Gepard flak panzer batteries, your Lars Raketenwerfer, which could be an interesting option to get a semi-cheap salvo template in there. The only thing that holds them back is you are paying for NATO stats, so I think it's 7 points for 4 of them. And then you got the 2 options for PA anti-tank helicopters, so you can get those hot missiles in pretty cheap. So in closing, I think that I did this out of order, because we should be doing the list and then closing. Anyway, so early closing, similar view as Norwegians. You know, A tier at best, their only real hope comes from the West German additions to fill the holes in their army lists. And that, weirdly enough, that's where more of the flavor for Denmark comes in. That you're able to play a full force and then take almost Flames of War style single platoon support options, where you can field an M113 squadron, then have a unit of Gepards, a unit of Martyr 1s, and a unit of Leo 2A4s coming in with some anti-tank helicopters and PAs to support them. And that can be pretty cool playing on the table. Really gives you that feeling of northern West Germany, where they connect with Denmark, where they would have been fighting against the Soviets in that portion. The DK Centurions are not worth the 1 point decrease per Centurion in comparison to the S-104. So unless you're wanting to run a thematic Danish force or just want to run the Danish ones, the S-104s are the way to go. So here's 2 sample lists here at our 80 points. It's looking very similar to Norway. A Leopard 1 tank squadron and M113 armored company. For the Leopard 1 tank squadron, all the Leopards are basically going in reserve. Then you got 8 sets of M113 TOWs, which is pretty nice. That's 8 TOW missiles. A 120 mm mortar section with the Leopards and the 81 mm mortar section for the Smoke, and then a single scout unit of the Mercedes Jeeps, and then 3 Gepards and 2 Puss from the West German support tree. And then at 115, one that I toyed with was a M113 armored company, maximizing it out, putting 3 Leo 1s in the unit, and I believe that is what I have set up as the ambush unit. And then the support, I got a double set of spearhead to go wide split on two. I got a double set of red eyes, and then I go deep into the West German support trees. 4 Leopard 2s. That's your one drop support option there. Those 4 Leo 2s coming on, they're going to be heavy hitters. Then I took a Milan, or not a Milan, an M113 Panzergrenadier Zug for the 3x Milans, so that I could have some infantry Milans, 4 Gepards and 3 Red Eyes for your AA defense. And so for the 115 list, it's your one drop NATO list, or your one drop reserve NATO list that everything deploys on the table except for the Leo 2s, and then you fight until the Leo 2s come on. And that wraps up our episode. Not bad, looking at 37 minutes on there, so probably around 30 to 35 when I finish editing it together. So I want to thank you all for coming out. Let me know what book you want reviewed next, because my next recording sessions are going to be the new NATO book, because Battlefront did send me a advanced PDF copy of that. So I've been going through minor spoilers. Canadians look incredible. I'm really excited for their options, and I'd never really looked at playing Canadians prior, but now I kind of have, because they did with NATO what they didn't do with they did with Canada what they didn't do with Norway. You got a lot of those localized options and some new kits coming out as well that you may have seen in previews and such. But I hope you all enjoyed this. I hope you all have a good rest of your day. Please like, subscribe, and follow me. Check out my other social medias. And if you are a 3D printer and wanting to buy resin, please use my affiliate link. It is greatly appreciated. And if you're going to be buying the resin anyway, it's a fantastic way to support my channel passively. So thank you, everybody. Have a good rest of your day.